Be part of the conversation. Send us a WhatsApp message on +27 73 470 3520 or call us at +27 12 001 7679. Let your voice be heard. Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media, from broadcast to baptism.
You are listening to Glorious Morning, the breakfast show with a difference, right here on AWR SID Media, from broadcast to baptism.
All right, there we are. It is literally about 18 minutes to go before we reach the top of the hour. And we are now being joined by our elder, Mr. Glenn Smithwick, as we get into Daniel chapter 9. We're looking at the 2,300-day prophecy. I did say, inviting you again, the link is there. Go to it, the SID Media, Facebook, and YouTube, and you can still watch this live from that platform. Happy Sabbath and a very good morning to you, Elder Glenn.
Good morning, Melissa. Good to be here with you.
Thank you so much. Looking forward to the study this morning. It's a hectic one. Daniel chapter 9 always is. so we are jumping down, I believe, into about verse 24. I don't know if that's where you want to start at, but maybe let me just allow you to introduce what we are going to be talking about this morning.
Well, you know, we picked up last week on Daniel chapter 9. And I listened to one of the previous broadcasts, and I thought the elder did a pretty decent job with Daniel chapter 8. But I think we need to show the link between Daniel chapter 9 and Daniel chapter 8, yep, and how that fits in before we talk about any other detail, you know? Mm-hmm. We can talk about the linkage, if that's okay with you.
Perfect.
Yeah. So I'll dive right in, and you can just interject at any time, ask me any questions at any time, so that I don't do a monologue. Okay. But good morning to those of you that have joined. It's always good to be with people that are interested in the Bible. And Daniel chapter 8 and 9 are amazing, because in Daniel chapter 8, Daniel ends chapter 8, he says, I was puzzled. I'm using modern English. I was uncertain about some things. Mm. Now, in Daniel chapter 8, he'd been given a lot of information about the kingdoms, and they were actually named Medo-Persia and Greece and so on. But I think that he was puzzled more by this little horn in this 2,300 days. What did this have to do with his life, his people, the rebuilding of the temple in Jerusalem? And Gabriel comes when Daniel is praying, and this happens a number of years later. One must appreciate God is always on time, but God's never in a hurry. Mm. His timing suits him always the best. Okay. And so Daniel's praying. He's praying about his people going back to Israel and building the temple. And yes, it's amazing. He's thinking about a 70-year prophecy that Jeremiah spoke about. But God takes his prayer to talk about something far bigger, a 70 times 7 years. Not just the rebuilding of the temple, yeah, but the coming of Messiah. And that's fascinating to me. And it's encouraging to me that God can use our small prayers. Now, I know it's a big prayer about his nation, but use our small prayers about our church, about our family, about my life, and then talk about the big issues. Mm. If I allow him to. So God comes and he sends Gabriel to come and explain to Daniel. And by the way, there's something that I don't think I mentioned last week.
Okay.
You know, the prayer of Daniel's amazing. And before Gabriel even gets to the explanation, I love this point. It's almost as though, you know, in the olden days when we'd write a letter, we'd do a P.S.
Yeah.
Oh, I almost forgot this. P.S. Gabriel, please tell Daniel.
Mm.
We love him. We love to talk about him up here. Think about that. God gets excited by his human children.
Mm.
He says, you are greatly loved. Come on, man. God's going to talk about the Messiah,
yeah,
and the salvation of the world. But he says, P.S., Daniel,
wow,
you are greatly loved.
Wow, wow, wow.
So, Now we can climb into the thing, but you could go ahead and ask any question you want, Melissa.
So I'm thinking, okay, now that we've got this beautiful love letter where God is going to share with us, you know, the future of humanity and a hope that from the very beginning when sin entered into the world, Adam and Eve were thinking, oh, wait, is this now the Savior who is born, firstborn? Is this now the Savior who is born, secondborn? And throughout these generations, for thousands of years, that was what the case was. Where then is this Messiah featuring in this 2,300 days and how?
When you look at Daniel chapter 9, Daniel chapter 9 tells us, it starts by saying that 70 weeks, and I really prefer the more modern translations, but it says 70 weeks are decreed for your people.
What verse are we on?
So 70 weeks are
24.
On verse 24.
24.
24. So 70 weeks are decreed for your people. Now he says a whole lot of things, and we wish we had the time to unpack them. But I'd like to tell you that all of those things, to bring in righteousness, to appoint the Holy One and so on, all of those things are fulfilled not in the nation, but in Jesus. Okay? And we could talk a lot about those things. But then he says, 70 weeks are decreed upon your people until... And from the going forth, sorry, of the decree to restore Jerusalem until Messiah the Prince, there shall be, and I'm again using the old translation, 7 weeks and 62 weeks. In other words, it's going to be 69 weeks. Mm-hmm. So he says there's 70 weeks in total, 70 weeks. But the 69 weeks of that will take us from the issuing of a decree to rebuild Jerusalem all the way up until Messiah, and we know that is Jesus. All the way, 69 weeks. So if we take the 70 weeks, 70 weeks, 70 times 7, 490 years, and of course we learn this in Scripture. This is not a thumbsuck thing. And I think I mentioned last week that one of the world's favorite scientists, physicists, Dr. Isaac Newton in the 1700s, reminded the Christians of a principle that was always there in Scripture, that when you see big prophecy, now I need to explain this as well, because people will say, oh, so when you see 7 days of creation, that's a day stands for a year. No. We're talking about, and I'm sorry to use a big term, apocalyptic prophecy. And that only occurs in Ezekiel, in Daniel, and in Revelation. There might be one or two other places, but those are the three main places where it's talking about big events leading to the end of the world kind of thing.
That's what apocalyptic would then mean, like end
apocalyptic
of the world.
Would then mean. Yes, that's why they use it in Hollywood, the apocalypse, the end of the world kind of stuff. So only where you see it there, and by the way, the clue you're going to get is the moment you see strange animals and symbols, then the moment you see that, then you know, uh-oh, even the time periods are symbolic.
Wow.
So you don't have to guess. God gives us enough clues so that you can know that. And, of course, Numbers has given us the indication and what happened with Ezekiel and so on. And I think your previous speaker did use those verses to speak about it. But when we use that principle, we can see that just like when God said to Israel, for every day the spies spied out the land, you will have a year that you will walk about in the wilderness. 40 days they spied out the land, 40 years you will walk in the wilderness. So God uses the year for a day principle there, and there's much more evidence that I could share. I think Dr. William Shea has about 40 pages of evidence from the Old Testament. So God uses that principle there, and he used it with Ezekiel, and now we use it with Daniel. And by the way, Melissa, it's fascinating.
Yeah.
Most Christians use the principle, in Daniel chapter 9, but they don't want to use it elsewhere, which is, I feel a bit sorry about that. They should use it wherever we see in Daniel chapter 7, Daniel chapter 8. They should use it there as well. So let's get back.
Sorry, I was just going to say the Bible verse that you are speaking about, you just mentioned, you know, two, Numbers and Ezekiel. But for anyone who wants to maybe go and look for the context, I believe it's Numbers 14:34, am I right? That's the one. Wonderful 40 years in the wilderness. Is that the day-year principle that we are talking about?
That's the one we are talking about. And he's in Ezekiel as well. And I'm just so sorry I
Write
didn't have
down
it
the
on hand, but I
verses.
think it's Ezekiel chapter 4, verse 6, but I'll try and catch it before we end. Yes.
Got you.
So to continue, Millicent, therefore, if we're saying that he says there's going to be 69 weeks, the maths is very easy. Take the 490, less 7, 483. So there's 483 weeks or days, sorry, or years, now that we understand the year day principle, from the decree to rebuild Jerusalem up until the time when Messiah would come.
Mm-hmm.
And there are four decrees in the Old Testament after Daniel, during the period of Daniel. And we don't arbitrarily just choose the one of Artaxerxes in 457. There was a decree by Cyrus, and there were other decrees. But the decree of Artaxerxes is amazing because the decree of Artaxerxes is very comprehensive. In actual fact, I like to say in my seminars, when the decree of Artaxerxes is issued, Artaxerxes actually gives Daniel his black credit card and says, wherever you go, tell the treasurers of my kingdom, they need to pay up.
Sure.
You know, this is amazing. And I've just got to say something spiritual. When God has a vision for you, he'll even let unbelievers finance that vision.
Wow.
That's the crazy thing.
That's amazing.
Yeah. So there he goes along, and he starts. The rebuilding starts under, it had started under Cyrus, but 457 is the one, and I'm going to show you why. If we take the 483, now remember in BC we start getting less and less and less as we get to AD. If you take the 483 and you subtract the 457, what's going to happen is you're going to come out with a period, if I'm remembering correctly, and I'm just trying to do my numbers very quickly, of 26. But remember, there's no, or should I rather say add. Let's rather do the addition onto there. We're going to come out at a year of beyond what we want, but you minus the one. And if you minus the one, because remember, there's no year AD naught or BC naught. AD and BC, the one, are the same year, if you're understanding what I'm saying. You will come out at a period or a date of AD 27. Are you with me so far?
Mm-hmm.
And you ask yourself, what does AD 27, what's its significance in the Bible and in history? Now, here's where it gets fascinating. The Bible will tell us that when Jesus got baptized, now you want to buckle up now because this gets fascinating. It says in Luke chapter 3, verse 1, in the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, Pontius Pilate being governor of Judea, it says that's the year, Luke chapter 3, verse 1, when Jesus, verse 21 says, comes to be baptized. We know that the year AD 27 is the year when Tiberius Caesar, it was his 15th year. Luke is a scholar. Luke gives time. He doesn't say it was a nice day, it was a beautiful day. He says this was the year, the 15th year of Tiberius Caesar, AD 27. Look at Daniel's prophecy. Jesus is baptized on time.
So, Elder, about that part, what did you say the mathematical equation is for us to get to AD 27?
Let's just take the 490, but easy in my mind, the 490, and you subtract the 457 of BC, what you left now with is
33.
I should have done the number 33, but you've got to add a year on because no year naught. It brings us to AD 34, okay? And you subtract 7 from that because remember, it's 483, and then there's still another 7 years after that. Are we together so far?
Mm-hmm.
So you subtract from the AD 34, you subtract 7, you come down to AD 27. Okay? Mm-hmm. We together?
Mm hmm.
And AD 27 is when the baptism of Jesus takes place.
Okay.
Because Luke has given us the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar when Jesus is baptized. And in actual fact, in Acts, Paul will tell us that Jesus was anointed. Acts chapter 10, 37 to 38. Jesus is anointed at his baptism.
Okay, so AD 27 is the baptism of Jesus. He's anointed.
The baptism of Jesus.
AD 34 would have been then the stoning of Stephen, where the time was then cut off for the Jewish nation. All right, got you.
So AD 27, the leadership of the Jewish nation, God now turns away from, he does not reject the people, but he rejects the leadership of the nation, and he will no longer be using them. Remember that when he left the temple in that last week, he said, your house has been left to you void.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, I've got no more business here. And the day when he died, Mark chapter 15 says that the curtain was torn in two from top to bottom. So God's business in terms of the sacrifices was over because the Lamb of God had died upon the cross.
Mm-hmm.
No longer would there need to be sacrifices on a daily basis. And by the way, none of those sacrifices could cleanse from sin. That's what Hebrews says. But Jesus, they pointed to Jesus. They were symbolic of Jesus. But Jesus, the perfect Lamb of God, has died upon the cross.
Mm. I'm getting dizzy.
So I hope that makes sense.
Yeah. So, your elder, I want to see if I understand.
Yes.
Okay. So, this is like the sanctuary message, basically, ne? We have the 2,300-day prophecy, and we're going through it portion by portion. So, Daniel chapter 9, verse 24, tells us about 70 weeks that have been determined for the people. Yes. And then we use the principle of the day-year prophecy. So, one day equals a year. We get that from the prophetic period spoken about in like books like the books of Moses, Ezekiel. Okay, cool.
Yes.
And then to see whether Jesus really, 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 really is the Messiah who was promised, then we take those 490 years, which are the calculation of the day year principle, and we subtract them from 457, which was the year when the decree was issued in that year, King Artaxerxes, to say that the rebuilding of Jerusalem is going to take place. And then, so we then subtract that particular year. I don't know if I missed it. I just want clarity. What did we say is the reason for that decree out of all the other decrees to be used?
It was the most comprehensive of all of them. Not only did it rebuild the temple, but it reestablished a magisterial system, a judicial system in Israel. And and if we do the maths backward, it is the one that fits. But that's not the reason. The reason is it was the most comprehensive of the four.
The other ones were not as clear.
Yeah, but they were not as clear. The people went back and they did certain things, but this one reestablished even a system of justice, of policing, of magistrates.
Okay. It was like, now we've got a proper government and we are back.
Exactly.
Okay. That makes a lot of sense. Okay. So then we minus 490. We minus 457 from 490, which will give us 33. And that is a year, AD 33. Then you said because there is no year, there's a missing year, basically. No.
Yeah, that's right. So we come to AD 34.
We add plus one, AD 34, ne?
Yes.
Okay, then we want to see, because in AD 34, Jesus is not walking planet Earth.
He's not walking? Sorry,
planet
say
Earth.
That.
He's not here anymore
no, he's
in
not
physical
long.
Form.
He's correct.
So how do we then see that this is the Messiah that whatever? Then you said that, remember it spoke about the 69 weeks.
Yes. The 69th week took us up to the baptism of Jesus.
So
when he started his ministry, that's the sixth, because it says up until Messiah, the Prince, Jesus, when he is now baptized. Before that, Jesus was the Son of God, but it's interesting, he never performed a miracle, and he never, as far as we're aware, preached a sermon. He never chose disciples. But from the moment of his baptism, he starts doing things that he's never done before, chooses disciples, performs miracles, begins to preach. He's starting his work officially now baptized as Messiah.
So someone might be confused, like, okay, you took 70 weeks, ne? And you gave us 490 years. Then the 69 weeks is part of the 70 weeks, is it not? So how do we account for those 7 days?
Those 7 days are now the remainder of the four hundred ninety years or the 70 weeks, and it is amazing that in the middle of the Bible would say, and I'm going to go to Daniel, rather let Daniel speak. It says in Daniel 9:26, after 62 weeks, which is after the 69 weeks. That's why I don't really like the way the old English puts it. Not that there's anything wrong with those Bibles, but after the 69 weeks, Messiah shall be cut off. But not for himself. And then verse 27 would say, he shall confirm a covenant with many for 1 week, and in the middle of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and offering to cease. So in other words, if we're talking about a week as being 7 years, for he's going to have this covenant for another 7 years with Israel from the time of his baptism up until AD 34. But in the middle of those 7 years, 3.5 years into his ministry, and we know that Jesus died roughly at the age of 33. In the middle of his ministry, in the middle of those 7 years, he would be cut off. How was he going to be cut off? By dying on the cross. But here's the amazing thing, Millicent. God would still show grace to the children of Israel for another 3.5 years. After the crucifixion of Jesus, they could have still been his chosen people. And I say to people, if that were me, you've killed my son, I'm done with you.
Yeah, yeah.
But God says no.
Same.
I'm giving you another 3.5 years.
Not playing those games. Okay. So, yeah. So then that is why after you get through number 34, you would then subtract 7 years to get 27.
Yes. Back to the 80-27. Yes.
Okay, yeah.
And
you know,
that's the baptism of Jesus.
That's the baptism of Jesus. Excellent. I do think we can't do it now, but it would be good for us to also understand this thing of the why God chose a particular nation. Because I think, in 2024, in a postmodern era, it's gotten us to a point where some people completely reject Christianity because, you know, they don't understand why God was selective, it appears. And then, you know, he gave them, he was even like 3 more years. And then if you guys don't do, I don't know if it's the will of my father, then I'm going to cut you out. I think all of those concepts are very tricky to understand, and I really would like us to like put time to really try and understand them, especially looking at our era where there's so much diversity and we're trying to speak about tolerance. And sometimes it's like, sure, in the Bible, I don't know if God was tolerant of other nations. Maybe these are things that I would like us to talk about, because you know, like, Christianity opens a can of worms nowadays. Big time.
It does.
Big time.
And Millicent, mm-hmm. to add to what you're saying, especially in the light of what's happening right now in Gaza, in Palestine. And I worry that there are Christians that still think that Israel is God's chosen nation and what they're doing is justifiable. It is not. It is not. And but we need to talk about that from a biblical point of view and help Christians understand that God's choosing of Israel was purely for mission. Purely for mission. Mm. That's why God had said to Abraham in Genesis chapter 12, through you, all the nations of the earth would be blessed. Not just you. All the nations. That was the blessing.
Excellent, excellent. I'm happy to leave it here, my elder, unless you've got final thoughts that you would just like to wrap up.
I know we'd need to pick up on how we now link this to the 2,300 days. I'm going to be in Bangkok next week, and I'm going to see if I can, I know that well, I'll be 12:30 that time, see if we can still link up. And I can wrap up what we're saying today.
Thank you so much. We would really appreciate that. Your generosity is well received by us, Elder Klein. And as you continue enjoying the Sabbath blessings, indeed, may you be blessed.
Thank you very much.
Thank
you,
you,
Madison. And
Thank
God
you.
Bless you. And God bless the listeners.
Amen. Amen.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.